flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, thank you very much for being with us at 11:06. We're here until noon, sports on a Sunday morning. We've had some show already. You can go back and watch or listen, rather, on the Odyssey app. Everything will be up. The live stream that's up right now on YouTube and X and Facebook and everything else. We appreciate all of you viewing us. Some people choose to do it that way. And you can see me in the studio wearing my Worldwide Technology Raceway hoodie, Drew. Sometimes I wear the logo. Sometimes I throw on the some of the other people that I represent, Anheuser-Busch. I enjoy that very much. Maybe a little Guns N' Roses once in a while. I kind of went off on the Board of Aldermen and city government at the start of the show, if that tickles your fancy. We also had Dennis Gates. What a fun interview that was. What a great guy. Head coach of the Missouri Tigers. And then I love talking X's and O's with Josh Schertz. And we did that. We talked some basketball at 10:30. So my rant, I guess you would say, followed by Dennis Gates and then Josh Schertz. And we just talked to Brian Kamenetsky, who, along with his brother Andy, and if those names ring a bell, they are St. Louis natives. They're based in L.A. now, and for a long time they have been following the Lakers. In fact, they co-host the Locked On Lakers podcast. They're going to have a busy podcast this week because, if you haven't heard by now, the superstar Luka Doncic was traded to the Lakers last night for Anthony Davis. He goes to the Dallas Mavericks. This hour, we'll be joined by John Mozeliak, the Cardinals president of baseball operations. I've had a couple of comments I'm looking at here on the stream. Somebody, Pete, said, what a great show today. Thanks. Pete Graham, thank you very much on Facebook. Someone on Twitter, X, said, and goes by Chili Pepper 1969, why Mo? ? Need Bloom on this show. Mo is a lame duck. Well, I'll agree with one thing in there. Actually, two things. Mo is in his lame duck year. He is going to be out as the president of baseball operations following this year, but he still is doing his job, and his job is to set this team up for Heim Bloom in the front office and also for this major league season. He is the president of baseball operations, and that's why we have him on the show. I agree that we need Bloom on the show, but the Cardinals and Heim Bloom have made that decision to not speak on behalf of the organization, as he is respecting Mo's position and John Mozeliak's job. Let me just take you back a little bit. John Mozeliak was the one who reached out to Bill DeWitt Jr., the Cardinals chairman, and said, I think we should take a look at Heim Bloom for an extra set of eyes. And DeWitt said, it's exactly what I wanted to do. I thought the same thing. So they both pursued it. They got him. This has been 2 years in the works. This was in 23. So Heim has been part of this organization for a while now, but now he has been elevated to the president of baseball operations in waiting, which will be next year. But in the meantime, he is busy putting this minor league system together with Rob Serfolio, who is the assistant GM now, with Larry Day, who is the farm director, basically, head of player development. So there is a process here. There is collaboration going on, and there is respect. And Bloom is respecting Mozeliak's position as the spokesperson for the team. So until that happens, Heim becomes more of a public figure, as a St. Louis Cardinals leader, then we will start having him on the show and we will respect that process. So I just wanted to answer that question, but I appreciate you commenting always and listening. Man, we have some great listeners. Sharp, always, always good. And then, you know, the Doncic trade brings to mind, wouldn't you love baseball to do some of that? Now, I know that, you know, baseball purists and fans would be like, oh, no, you can't. You couldn't trade a superstar for a superstar. That's unthinkable. Well, you know, the NBA does a heck of a job of creating interest. They really do. Do you like the NBA? I mean, really, do you like watching the NBA? Do you like that product? Or do you like everything else that goes into it? The personalities, the big money contracts, the drama, the big cities, the glitz, the glamour, the excellent talent that steps on the floor and you're actually witnessing some of the greatest to ever play the game. I think that's what NBA fans like. They like the entire package, not just the basketball. Now, college basketball fans like myself, some of us will look at that and be like, it's hard for me to get into an NBA game. We respect the talent, but we like the chaos of college basketball, the mistakes that are made, the intensity, the tears, the crowd, the student section, and all that stuff. But the NBA has something that no other sport has. The NFL does this well, too. They have a fascinating offseason where they throw rumors out there, where players move from team to team. And heck, in the middle of the season, they throw down with monster trades that get your attention. And this one, you know, this is going to go down in history. You just don't see this very often. You don't see a superstar for a superstar. Let me take that back. An MVP candidate for a superstar. Is Luka Doncic is 25 years old and is going to win multiple MVPs. He's that good of a player. Traded to the Los Angeles Lakers? I mean, that is just wild. Wild. So hats off to the league. Whoever thought this one up will be ridiculed. The Mavs are getting absolutely killed here and ridiculed for the trade. I get that too. I also say good for the league. They're getting everybody, but everybody is talking about the trade, even those of us who don't cover the NBA all that often. Appreciate you joining us on Sports on a Sunday Morning. When we come back, I'll tell you what we love here in this town. We love basketball. We love football. We love baseball and hockey, racing, tennis, golf. Go right down the list of all the great sports. But we are big, big fans of soccer in this town. And St. Louis City SC has created a phenomenon over at Energizer Park. At what point, though, do the fans start to hold them accountable to the level of, let's go here? You know, the first year, they win the regular season Western Conference. Last year, they don't make it. They let go of their coach, Bradley Carnell, and they brought in Olaf Melberg. They've also brought in some new players. You're going to hear about them in a preview of the 2025 MLS season for St. Louis City SC. Coming up next on Sports on a Sunday Morning, we're in the downtown studios at KMOX, the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Goldschmidt swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Billikens win! Billikens win!
Once again, from the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Happy Groundhog Day. February 2nd, we are in studio for another 44 minutes. Glad you're with us on the show. It is time for a new season, the third season of St. Louis City SC MLS getting underway at Energizer Park and beyond, and that's where they had their media day on Friday. The preseason is already underway, training for City and their new coach, Olaf Melberg.
It's going well, I think. It's been a good camp. We've been working hard, trained a lot. So we were a little bit we were very heavy actually in the first game. So struggled a little bit, especially our attacking wasn't good enough. We worked a little bit on our freshness for the second game and played really well. Overall, they worked hard, obviously from a physical point of view, but also tactically, and pleasantly surprised how well things have worked so far.
You talk about the attack. What have you seen from Klaus in this brief time? Because obviously, he's a designated player on this team, and a lot expected from him.
Yeah, I mean, I think also now there's a lot of focus on the tactical and the physical aspects. So I think we've got him and the others as well still got some work to do in the technical abilities, and we haven't worked so much in detail yet in the final third. So I think things will improve in that area over the coming weeks.
Santi?
Staying on training camp, what have you seen from the homegrown players and also from the draft picks?
Yeah, they've done really well. You know, a lot of energy, worked hard. They've really, really, really good data from a physical point of view, and also taking on board our style of playing now. So they've done really well and got playing time as well in the games. So pleased with that.
Corey.
Coach, I know you guys are just coming together in these few weeks, but how have you felt that this team wants to win right away, especially after last year? Is there really that kind of feeling of we want to get right back out there and we know we have what it takes to win right away?
Yeah, I think so. I think especially in the last game now we played against New York Red Bulls, you could really see the energy. It was tough earlier in the preseason and for the first game because we were quite heavy. We trained a lot in the days before that, a few double sessions. Just before that game. I think when everything comes together and they're really starting to understand the way we want to play with intensity and what that means for us, and we definitely saw some good signs of that in especially in the game against Red Bulls and also in training as well.
We go to Frank then Matt.
Luke, this is the third roster you've assembled, and I know it's really early, but at least on paper, do you think this is your most talented roster?
It's tough to say. I think we had always a talented roster, but if you're looking purely at numbers and names, we probably had the weakest roster in year one, and we won the Western Conference. We had a bit of a better roster in year two, and we didn't make the playoffs. So I think it's, as you said, very early doors. You can't really say too much about it yet. We still have a transfer window which is not closed. So I think that's the beauty about preseason, that you can watch and you can analyze, and the two of us sit together every evening to see is there still something we want to do, or are we happy with that what's available. So yeah, I think we have a talented one, but I don't think you can compare roster 1, 2, and 3. They know us, they know how we play. Now we're having a few surprise elements again, obviously, with different players and also a new coach. But we will figure that out, Frank, once the season is on the way.
Matt?
Paul and Lutz, any decisions made yet on who's going to be joining the camp and who's going to go down to City 2 for Kelvin?
Yeah, we made the decision, but I can't tell you.
Lutz Fantasy, I had to, of course, add that in there. I always love when he plays with everybody, including me. He also went on to say that Roman Berkey is going to be their goalkeeper and is going to be for this season, and they obviously love him and beyond. So I wouldn't worry about Berkey going anywhere. By the way, tickets are available. I'm going to give you some information on how to get single-game tickets. But he mentioned the roster and some new faces, and I think this is a great addition. The German center back, Timo Baumgartel. He has a lot of experience, 28 years old, 140 matches at the top leagues in Germany and the Netherlands. And he was joined by our very own Jen Cease.
I'm going to try to say it right. Böblingen.
Yeah, it's quite
close.
Yeah.
How do you say?
Böblingen.
Near Stuttgart.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you know that we have an organization in St. Louis called Stuttgart Sister Cities?
Yeah. Vin told me we have like a sister city to Stuttgart. That's nice.
Welcome to St. Louis.
Thank you.
Your last club, Schalke. When you were at Schalke, who was your rival?
Yeah, normally the rival for Schalke is Dortmund. For me, I know Berkey when I played against him when I was in Berlin and Stuttgart. So.
Did you score on him? You're back, but can you score on him?
We won one game against him, I know. I directly said to him, and you remember that game.
And one other question, too, is I was looking up how the fact that you, Marcel, Giannis, Edward Leuven, Cedric Teuchert all played on the U21 national team. Granted, that was a while ago, but does that kind of connection that you had before playing together could translate on the field here for City?
It's a connection. We were younger, but still, like, they guys have the same character, the same ability of playing soccer, just more experience. So it's so nice to be back with them. It's nice to have these guys here because it's, for me, easier to integrate because I'm going to ask all the questions I have to them. It makes it more easier for me. And of course, yeah, we know each other for such a long time, so I know exactly how they behave in different situations. That's a good thing for me because I need to know from every teammate what they behave in different situations. So I got to learn this in the training now, but already know from these guys, it's make it easier.
So go back in time for the people who don't know you. How'd you get started in your early soccer days?
To be honest, my mother was a national player in handball. I think I took the wrong way for her.
She's like, oh no, you want to play with your feet.
Yeah, exactly. They told me I have a talent in handball, but in fact, I was better in soccer. And at the end, I take the decision to play soccer. Played for my like hometown and then went to Stuttgart. And now, yeah, have different clubs in different countries. And now I'm in St. Louis.
Do you have a favorite memory or time from your earlier days? Fun stories that you had that you're like, oh, that was like one of the best times in my early soccer career.
No, I think the best times were when we were the under 21 national team discovering different countries. We're 10 days together, like 20-year-old boys. You can imagine there's nice times in different countries playing soccer together. My first game in European soccer, my debut in the Bundesliga was a nice feeling. All these moments, I have a lot of good memories.
Lutz talked a little bit just in the press release when we first knew you were coming to City, not only about your playing ability at center back, but he called out your leadership in the locker room. Center backs, goalies are often sometimes just natural leaders on the field. How do you like to be a leader on your team?
I'm a guy who always communicates with his teammate. That's important for me. For me, it's leadership, not only speaking loud. It's about playing soccer in the right way, in a tactical way, to know the right spots where to stay. That's a leader, and also speak to others where they can improve. I want to give the team my experience from different clubs, from different leagues, from different European soccer games, because I think I can help them. I had a lot of tough situations in my career to come back, and I did it. So that's all the things I think it's important to teach also younger guys, because I had a lot of old guys teaching me their experience. And it's important for players that there are guys who leading them, especially in tough moments. That's for me leadership, to be there if there's a tough moment. It's always easy to hide when there's tough moments. It's always easy to lead when there are easy moments. But a good leader is always there. That's my way for understanding how a leader is.
Who'd you look up to when you had tough moments?
I look to a role model. I had Sergio Ramos as a role model, especially in Real Madrid, but I had also in Stuttgart, like our captain. He always speak to me when I was 18, made a mistake. It's normal that you do mistakes, but he was always there at my back telling me go on. And yeah, I discovered different tough moments in my career, and it's always easy to give up, but my way was always to go forward. And sometimes you need time, but at the end it's the right decision to never give up.
And of course, I could probably be just patient and watch you play, but if you had to describe, what kind of center back do you look to try to be when you're feeling like I'm playing my best game? What kind of center back are you?
I think I'm a technical center back. I want to have the ball. I think my biggest strength is when I have the ball on my feet, to build up, to play passes through lines. I think that's my biggest ability. And also, like, always for me, it's a perfect game when I never have to slide, because I'm always in the right position. And that's my goal, to be in the right spot, to be there whenever it's a dangerous ball, to clear it, and especially when I have the ball, to start attacking, to break lines, to get the ability with my passing through the lines. That's my way of playing. It's not the typical maybe destroyer who I am, but for me it's always good. If you don't have to slide, you have a good game, because then you're in the right position.
Timo Baumgartel, the center back for City. I think it's a big deal that he had that experience on the German under 21 youth national team with Marcel Hartl and Edward Leuven and Cedric Teuchert, and there's more too. I mean, that's important. The chemistry, he sounds like somebody that is going to fit right in to this situation that City has presented itself with, a third year where they think they have a talented group. There is more to come, it sounds like. Lutz kind of dropping that hint that the transfer window is not closed. Much more coming on Transactions and Otherwise with John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, is going to join us next. By the way, I teased those tickets. The tickets are now going to be available. Single match tickets go on sale on Tuesday at 10 a.m. Season ticket members pre-sale begins. Tuesday at 2 p.m., My City Plus members single match tickets pre-sale begins. You have to sign up for My City Plus by today to receive that pre-sale access. Then Wednesday at 11:59 p.m., the pre-sales end. And on Thursday at 10 a.m., single match tickets go on sale to the general public for St. Louis City SC. We'll take a break. We'll talk Cardinal baseball with John Mozeliak next on KMOX. A nice sunny day here in downtown St. Louis. And folks, we made it through January. That was a tough month weather-wise. It's February, and at some point, you just want to get some sun on your face. And John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, joins us. Good morning, Mo. And soon we are going to do that very thing down in Jupiter, Florida, as spring training is upon us. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yeah, you think about the calendar. I think the truck gets loaded on Tuesday. It should get unloaded Friday. And my understanding, too, is we have a lot of players starting to descend on Jupiter, so it's exciting.
I have seen that. You are 10 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting, but you've already had some unofficial reporting. I saw photos of Miles Michaelis. He looks like he's in good shape, actually.
He's in phenomenal shape.
He looks ripped. I don't know what he's been doing except working hard this offseason to come back and be stronger. Pedro Pajes was with him. I saw others down there. You got a whole bunch, don't you?
We do. And so we had a voluntary camp this past week, which will go into next week prior to pitchers and catchers reporting. And then from there, we'll also have our step camp begin for the minor league. So, yeah, I think over the next 10 days, Jupiter will be flowing with baseball players, which is always fun.
I heard the message sent by yourself, by Ollie Marmol, by the players, quite honestly. They want to play a relentless, athletic, strong style of baseball and a winning style of baseball. There was a message of this team cares and cares about winning. That sounded like it came from deep within, that yes, they do hear what's happening on the outside, but the team also wants to convince itself that this quote-unquote reset that they're going through. Also, while that does affect the future, the future starts now and trying to build a new message, a new era. Does that sound like what you're trying to do?
It does. I feel like, you know, right now there's some fans that are annoyed we didn't, like, blow the team up more. I think there's others that are hoping that we can be a competitive club. So it's just really a fine line to walk. And I think what we're really trying to accomplish is give a lot of our younger players an opportunity so we know what we have, but still try to put a competitive product out there so our fans have a reason to show and be excited about it. So trying to kind of walk two parallel paths here, it's difficult. Obviously, if things don't go the way we hope, then you have the season to then look at ways to arbitrage your players as you start to think about the future. But if things go well, then from an ownership standpoint on down, then we can look at it a little differently as well. So, you know, right now we're trying to keep most of our resources / assets in place, and hopefully we can go out and get off to a quick start and get it going. But obviously we got 6 weeks of spring training baseball ahead that's going to give us a pretty good indicator of really what we look like.
And the first time I heard the word reset was from you on this show, and it was more about the front office is kind of what you were talking about at that time, but really just everything, the big picture, the system, the way that you are going about things as an organization was going to be reset. Kind of, you mentioned resources. I feel like there's been a reallocation of resources towards that lowest level of baseball to get everybody on the same page. Is that accurate?
Well, we've certainly been very aggressive in the hiring side of things. We always ran a very lean ship, if you will. Gary LaRock and his staff, I think, to their credit, deserve a lot of thank yous, given that they were smaller staff than maybe other organizations. Now you're going to see a lot more coaches, rovers, coordinators, those types roaming around the minor leagues. And, you're hoping that really the ROI and that type of investment is that when you have players that are on the margins, you're getting them over the top and contributing at the major league level. So I hope that strategy works. I'm certainly that's what we're doing. But that's going to take a little time, too. It's not just implement and expect a return right away. So that will require some patience. But, you know, overall, a lot of the new faces, a lot of the new coaches, I've enjoyed getting to at least say hello to them in the short term, but looking forward to getting to know them.
And in terms of moves, there were some moves actually made before all of this started by not bringing back Goldie, not bringing back Karp, not bringing back Keenan Middleton, Kyle Gibson, Lance Lynn. You can go down the list of some of those players. Not that I expect you to flip the roster or anything, but I am curious to see what other maneuvers might be made here before. I guess the elephant in the room is still Arenado. That's been out there. What can you tell us about Nolan Arenado and your feelings at this moment on February 2nd?
You know, unfortunately, not a lot. I think what you're seeing in baseball right now is the market stalled. Obviously, we saw a lot of activity right before Christmas with winter meetings. But since then, it's been a really slow-paced market. I think the industry as a whole is seeing that happen more and more over time, where there are a lot of players available in January. But as you pointed out right at the start of the show, that we're actually in February. And so I suspect the next 7 to 14 days are going to be really indicators of how this market starts to move or how people start to react to it. Because I do think it's frustrating because, you know, I've been in this game a long time, and it used to be the off season would take you through the month of December. Then it started to leak into January, and now we're leaking into February. And you look at other sports and the excitement of free agency when you have a deadline, I think is much more newsworthy and exciting for clubs or teams in general. And so I hope baseball at some point gets to that, because I do think everybody will benefit.
I just said at the start of this hour, this Luka Doncic to the Lakers trade. I mean, I don't know. We could sit here and break down the trade all day long, Anthony Davis to the Mavericks, but it's good for the league. I mean, the NBA, that's what everybody's talking about. They all want to talk about this massive seismic move. About your team, you know, you look at this roster. I'm going to ask you a two-part question. Do you see any positions that are jammed up where you might want to relieve that position and make a move? Do you see any needs that you have going into 2025 still?
I think I don't see any positions like jammed up where we're forced to do something. Plus, with the uncertainty of Nolan right now, it's hard to sort of weigh into that. I feel like when you look at the pitching side of things, this time of year, you're always looking for additional relief help because things happen over the next 5 to 6 weeks. So that would be something that we would consider at some point. But, you know, right now we're focused on you know, trying to do a trade, and we'll see where that goes.
Back to Michaelis, there's got to still be a fire in his belly. I know what a competitor he is to get back to what he was, because what he was a game one starter in the playoffs for you in 19, terrific pitcher in 18. He's been a horse for you even when things weren't going well for him. How do you evaluate the rotation with Miles Michaelis in it?
Well, I think in Miles's case, you know, he's a guy that takes the ball. He's someone that values pitching every fifth day. He's someone that values going over 100 pitches, meaning deep into a game. I think the big difference for him is, you know, he fills up the strike zone, but sometimes he does it so much that he doesn't get strikeouts and he does get a lot of balls in play. And so if our defense is strong and we can support that, I think he can be successful. But, you know, clearly he's looking at this year as a step to next year, and so highly motivated and, you know, excited to see what he can do.
And then I call them the young guns, McGreevy, Matthews, Hentz. I mean, you've got some arms. I go right down the list. What is the reality of some of those possibly competing and breaking into the rotation, if not in spring training in early or mid-25?
Well, I'd start with McGreevy. I mean, obviously, when he got spot starts in the big leagues last year, he made the most of it. Obviously, a young man that's ready for new challenges. So that wouldn't surprise me to see him utilize some way at the major league level this year, whether it's in the rotation or even bullpen. You asked about Hentz. You know, he's someone that still has to show that he can take the ball every fifth day and consistently do that. And there's some other things that he needs to work on, but electric arm puts it all together. He can be special. And then Matthews, obviously, breakout year last year, named minor league pitcher of the year. You know, I know he spent his offseason trying to replicate what he did last year. And so he'll be challenged to take the ball at AAA this year. How long he's there, time will tell. But, you know, very exciting arm.
Appreciate your time as always. Thank you for these 10 minutes that you give us on Sports on a Sunday Morning. We look forward to seeing you down in Jupiter, Florida. I won't be down there till March 9th. I'll hit those last 2 weeks, but you know I look forward to it. Cannot wait to get in the booth, on the field, and be with the club. Thank you, John.
All right, Tommy. See you soon.
Great to visit with John Mozeliak, Cardinals President of Baseball Operations. It's 11:41. Bernie Miklas comes in. We have a lot to talk about with Bernie, and that is on the way next. Don't go anywhere. Sports on a Sunday Morning from the Stiefel Sports Studio.
Schmidt swings, and he hits a drive. He hits a slammer.
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Milliken's win! Milliken's win!
Once again, from the Stiefel Financial Sports Studio, Tom Ackerman.
Bernie Miklas, sponsored by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealer. Good morning, Bernie.
Tom Ackerman, good morning to you, sir.
It's always good to talk to you. You know, I don't pop off all that often. I don't get all, I'm pretty even keeled, I would say. But I was sitting in here at the start of the show at 10:05 or whatever, and there was a news story about the Board of Aldermen running into each other and spinning their wheels and not able to figure out how to spend Rams money and people walking out of meetings. And I just, like, I started the show saying, what are you doing? I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, just can our leadership please help St. Louis be better? I mean, you know, it takes leaders. It takes vision. It takes collaboration. Somebody please step up. I don't know what your thoughts are. You are a city resident, yeah. And I haven't really talked to you about this, but it does pertain to sports because sports are a big industry here.
Listen, I love living in the city, but I got to say, not as much as I used to. I speak for my wife, Kirsten, on that as well. Because over the years, you know, our property taxes continue to go up. The services that, in effect, the city's obligated to provide, you know, continue to deteriorate. You know, we're all concerned about crime. We're all concerned about public education. We're all concerned about a million things, right? But instead of the situation getting better, you know, the arrow continues to point down. And the only reason I'm giving you that background is that it leads to the final thing about this, which is I would like to trust our city leaders. I would like to believe in them, that they're going to find ways to grow the city. They're going to find ways to make it better for people who live here and pay taxes and do it proudly, and people who may be compelled or curious or perhaps even enthusiastic about moving here. Because as we know, St. Louis City, you know, has lost a tremendous amount of population. I would like to just sit here on a Sunday morning with you, say 5 years from now, and just say, wow, what a turnaround this is. Gosh, just phenomenal leadership, and look at where it's gotten us. And what's frustrating on top of that is I do follow what's going on with other cities. I truly do. And there are so many cities that St. Louis can emulate if the leadership was in place to do so. I'm talking about Pittsburgh. I'm talking about Detroit. Those are two examples. There are many cities that were declared, especially Detroit, declared dying, dead, you know, hopeless. There's been some great things going on in Detroit. And before that, it was Pittsburgh, which changed its local economy in a dramatic fashion to get in the forefront of medical research and some other things. And Pittsburgh's one of the most shining cities in America. We can do this, and I know we can do this because I've seen it happen in other places. But what is the common denominator? What is the common thread through all this? Poor or mediocre leadership. And it's been that way ever since I moved to St. Louis, and I'm grateful that I did in 1985.
Look, whether they are or aren't, it feels like the perception is that they're taking for granted some of these great people in St. Louis that are generous with deep pockets, like the Taylors, who came in and dropped about $1 billion on a complex in downtown West. I mean, it's not like we have to build anything more, and we have everything. I mean, we could spruce up the dome a little more, but we have a nice ballpark. We have a nice racetrack. We have a great Enterprise Center, the Dome, Energizer Park, St. Louis University, on and on it goes. I mean, it's right here in front of us.
There's a lot of wonderful things about the city of St. Louis and living here. So you prompted me to talk about like my level of perhaps frustration as city resident. And so I believe me, I look at the other side too. I look at all the positives and I look at all the attractions. I look at the great neighborhoods, my fellow citizens. My gosh, you can just count on so many people coming through for you to help. They have your back and we have their back, things like that. There is a camaraderie here, but there's also continues to be a divide. And I don't know what the answer is there. But there are so many things that my wife and I treasure about being in St. Louis, and we're grateful for those things and the things we like to do, the things we enjoy. I could go on and on and on, but the frustrating thing, as I said, and I'll just say it one more time, is that we people that have St. Louis at heart. And put our tax dollars in it, and we're committed to it because we live here. We continue to live here. The sad thing and the frustrating thing is that we see the potential that it could be so much more. It could be so much better, and that's the thing that really kind of bums you out about it.
And I love it here so much, and I know you do too. It is home, and I will always, always root for it. Bernie Miklas, let's talk about what's to come here. We just had John Mozeliak on the air, and we'll get into Cardinals pretty heavy on the Gas House Gang. We also have college basketball buzzing around. We had Dennis Gates on the show. Bernie, I'll tell you what. I'm going to say it right here, right now. Missouri is a dark horse Final Four team. I'm not kidding you. I mean, I think they have the type of team that could be a real problem in the NCAA tournament, and they're going to get into the tournament.
This is a phenomenal coaching job, and it is an absolutely phenomenal turnaround. How do you go from 0-18 in the conference one year, and then you come back the next year and they are now 6-2 in SEC play? How do you do that? Well, he brought some good players back and he coached them up and they're better. And he made tremendous use of the transfer portal. And I assume the NIL program is going well. Dennis Gates is a coach made for these times. And if there were any doubts about him, last season was a really, really, really weird year. If there's any doubts about how good he is or how he knows how to fix problems or how he knows where to go to get talent, he's exceptional. And I think, I did a study, and I don't want to bore anybody with this. I did a study because I wanted to look at this. I wanted to look at, all right, how many teams in a major conference had a winless conference record and then came back? What did they do? Now, granted, this was a different time before the transfer portal, but let me just say this. The transfer portal has been working. It has been in place for 4 or 5 seasons now. And there's still a lot of programs who have not taken advantage of it. And they're terrible, terrible, terrible. So when people say, well, yeah, it's nice what Coach Gates is doing, but, he's got the transfer portal. Well, so does everyone else. And so why are programs like, like Georgetown, and I could name like 20 programs that have not gotten better during the transfer portal era. They've actually gotten worse. So I'm not going to discredit what Dennis Gates is doing. But what I was going to tell you is, a winless power conference team in conference play in the shot clock era, that which began in 1985-86. The best that a coach did in the follow-up year is to go 500 in conference play. So Dennis Gates can make history this season, do something no one has done in the shot clock era, which is to take a winless team in conference play and come back the next season and you have a winning record in conference play. No coach has done that during the shot clock era. And I don't want anyone like nitpicking and talking about, well, the transfer pro. Yeah, he's got tools and he's working with them and he takes advantage of them. That's what a good coach is supposed to do. So even Mizzou fans, do not nitpick anything about this success this year. It's exceptional.
It really is. And Bernie Miklas is with us. You got to subscribe to the Bernie Show on YouTube to catch everything. And the Gas House Gang, of course. And we'll be back on tomorrow. And Bernie, we'll be talking about the Cardinals, who are 10 days away from pitchers and catchers reporting. Arenado has still not been moved, and it's obvious why. And John Mozeliak just went on and talked about it without mentioning Alex Bregman's name. Free agency is just what it is. We're sitting here in February, and he still hasn't been moved.
I can't stand this system the Major League Baseball has. At a time where they should be using the off season to build expectation, get everybody excited, and be in the news constantly, because teams are making moves. Teams are adding players. Teams are doing this. Teams are doing that. The only people that benefit from the current system, it's not Major League Baseball as a whole, because no one talks about Major League Baseball outside of hot Major League markets. Everyone's talking about other things going in sports because Major League Baseball has, in effect, relinquished the offseason and the ability to market your product. The thing about it, the only people that truly benefit are like the top tier free agents, because they get great contracts, and that's great. And listen, man, get all the money you can. You know, that's the system. You've earned it. But what's happened here is you have certain agents, Scott Boras in particular. They hold their guys out, hold their guys out, hold their guys out, hold their guys out. They don't make deals until spring training or whatever. And it slows down the whole process because there's so many mid-level free agents. There's so many lower-level free agents who are just sitting and waiting, because the logjam will not be eased until Scott Boras decides where he's going to put his clients. And so there are teams like the Cardinals or who are on hold, but they're not the only ones. There's a lot of teams are on hold. But what about the other free agents? What does the Major League Baseball Players Association, do they owe them something? Or is it just the elite of the elite who get the huge contracts? Are they the only people that matter? What has the Players Association done to make sure that the middle class players and the lower class in terms of salary brackets, that they're not going to be left behind? So I think the whole thing stinks. I really do. And it's frustrating to sit here day after day after day to wait for Scott Boras to decide, okay, I guess we'll sign now. You know, it's ridiculous.
I agree, and it's got to change. There has to be a solution to that issue. Bernie Miklas, you're always our solution. Great way to finish the show. Thank you so much, my friend. Enjoy this great weather and your Sunday.
Tom, always a joy to be with you, and look forward to the Gas House Gang tomorrow at noon, St. Louis time.
We are going to bring it for sure. Thank you. The news is next on KMOX.